On the same day that I struck a deer, or deer struck me, and which that's in the bulletin, by the way, if you hadn't read that. And I was driving along, just kind of meditating on my day, and that song comes on the radio, and I thought, I never heard that song before. And so I looked it up, and I thought, well, that's a pretty cool message. That's a pretty cool tune. And I'm so thankful that you agree with that today, because you showed up today to be at church. I thought about church the rest of that day, as certainly as I'm preparing for this message today, as the disciples are being called, and one calls another who comes to another, and there's this kind of chain reaction of disciples who are finding out and following Jesus. And I got to thinking about that as I was thinking about this matter of church, and just really admire the church, this church, and the church. And to realize that from the time of the calling of the disciples till now, and beyond even today, the church has stood the test of time. It is the institution that Jesus put in place to function as His messenger, to function as His communicator, to function as His life changer for people in the world. Early on, as the church was being formed, it was under incredible scrutiny and incredible persecution across the world for generations. It's been under that same scrutiny and under that same persecution. There have been those who have come against the church and tried to silence the church. But the church continues to function. The church continues to meet. Why? Because it has a calling of God. It is not a calling of popular opinion. It has a calling of God to be the messenger of Jesus. And even today, there are those who are gathered in secret around the world, around the Word of God, forming and functioning as the church of Jesus Christ under great risk, even of bodily harm, because of those who would come against the church. Thankfully, in one way, you and I have no fear of reprisal for gathering here today as a church in America. We are still of that mindset that the church in America today can gather and meet freely. But lest you think we are free and clear from any persecution that comes against the church of today, we are against a different kind of persecution. We are up against the persecution for relevance in our community and in our society. The worldview that is many as the coins of toss in the air, the many as you can make up, the worldview of the day has as its core to make the ministry of the church irrelevant. And I look at any television station and any news channel and any worldview that's going on in America today, and I wonder, how's that working out for you? The truth of it is, the worldviews of the day that try to make the church irrelevant is a mess. Somebody agree with that and say, it's a mess. It's a mess. The worldview. And the church sits on this corner and sits on many corners in America and continues to be relevant in the world today. I want you to know, dear friend, it's a big deal that you showed up today. It's a big deal that you showed up. I was sitting in the tax office this week. It's like going to the doctor for a diagnosis. You know, am I going to owe or am I going to get money back? You just sweat that whole experience. And it was my time for my appointment. In fact, my accountant, who's my savior, by the way, he's a great friend for years and years, was about 15 minutes late into my appointment. And this lady came in. She was a grandmother of a small infant child. She came tumbling into the tax office, and she said, I'm here for my appointment at 10 o'clock with Clay. Well, Clay is my accountant, and it was my appointment time, and I began to rise up because nobody's getting into my time because I got to get my taxes done. All of that's in my head, by the way. I didn't say it out loud. But then after a minute or two, they looked at the books, and they said, ma'am, your appointment was yesterday. And I said, hallelujah, because I'm on time. But the truth, how does that relate to you being in church today? Well, I thought about that for a moment, and I thought about what happens if you got your day wrong and you showed up here yesterday and nobody else was here. Oh, you could have church. You could sing all the hymns and the songs. You could pray, and, you know, you could have an experience, but it wouldn't be the same, would it? It matters that you're here with one another. It matters that you're here, and you're here, and you're here, and you're here. Hopefully, when you come here on the right day and time, at the appointed time and the hour, when you individually come, you get some benefit from being here. Some, hear me clearly, some relevance to your life for the day. A certain song is sung, a certain prayer is offered, a certain scripture is read, a certain embrace or a greeting is exchanged with one another, and you get a personal benefit from being here in church. But it's also important for you to remember that you being here matters to the person next to you, and the person next to you, and the person behind you, and a person across from you, because Jesus designed the church to be about one another. Jesus designed the church to be about community, and we do it together. We share in it together, the good and the bad, the celebrations and the heartaches, the cheers and the sneers, all of it together as one body, the body of Christ. And when all of the people, you and me, come together, all of the parts of the body of Christ on this corner form together to function as the body of Christ. And in that amazing moment, by the way, I want to tell you my favorite time on Sunday, my favorite time of all time, any day of the week, any week of the year, is 10:29 a.m. on Sunday. I love it. I love sitting right there in the pew. It's 1 minute till we kick this thing off. And the cacophony of noise, the collective cacophony of noise of the people coming together and mixing together and mingling together is just absolutely the most inspiring moment of my life. To hear the noise and the chatter of the people gathering, and knowing that in one more minute, we're going to kick off the ordered and organized and planned celebration to God in that moment. And I want to just scream out from time to time, you're here! You're here! We're actually going to do this thing. It matters. It matters that you and I come together and hear the relevant experience of the ministry of the church. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus has just arrived on the scene as the Son of God. He's been on the earth for 30 years, but He is just now declaring Himself as the Son of God. And He's in the process of calling His guys, calling His disciples to come and be with Him, to be trained by Him, to be messengers for Him, to be His comrades for 3 years as He delivers this message of God to the world. And as He goes to the end of His days on the cross, His guys are with Him. And one of the things that you see in this activity of calling disciples is that one disciple messages to another, messages to another, messages to another, and they begin to deliver this message, you've got to come and see this. You've got to come and see Jesus. And He begins to gather His disciples out of the testimony of the next guy and of the next guy and of the next guy. Church, that is our job. From the beginning of the calling of disciples, it was a chain reaction process of speaking well of the activity and the ministry of the church in its gathered state right now and its gathered functions on a regular and weekly basis. It is your job, it is my job to say to those who are outside of the fellowship, who are yet to be benefiting from the relevant place called the church today, to be about the activity of come and see. I was up early this morning thinking about all of the ways to talk about come and see. And I must tell you that in my early morning coffee and meditation time, I just couldn't stop thinking about great things to talk about our church. We have built a population. I'm just going to give you a few. We have built a population of needy people in our community that are benefiting from our food ministry. That number has grown to 500 people. We are touching the lives of, potentially every month, 500 people in our community that have a food need, but also have physical and spiritual needs. Brother Brian is generating projects for our Here For You March 30th day, where we will go into that population and other people in our church family as well and serve and like construction projects and go into homes and make sure people understand that we are the church that is representing Jesus Christ and we're here for you to be able to attend to your needs. That's a big deal. We have a wonderful Sunday school. I don't know if you watched it this morning. I love watching. That's my second favorite thing of the day, watching the children exit to children's church. There's always those early adopters. There's always those little sister getting big sister kind of halfway through. And then there's always, I'm not sure if I'm young enough for that, but oh well, what the heck, I'm going to go. There's always one or two at the end. But it's a crowd of young people. Have you noticed that? They're just flooding into that. How'd they get here? They didn't just wander up here. They brought by families, and they're experiencing the benefit of the church. You realize that we have started our year financially ahead of our needs by a significant amount of funds. It is a big deal. Thank you for that. Thank you for that giving, the relief that comes from our finances being not so worried about and not so stretched and strained is a big deal, and we're thankful for that. On top of that giving to the church, it's important to remember that approximately 17% of everything that comes into our church is counted and leaves for missions causes around the world as soon as it hits the bank account. So we live as a church on 83% of our total income and do quite well, to be honest with you, as well. That's a big deal in terms of the finances. It's against the grain, by the way, in church life and in Southern Baptist convention life, where missions giving is continually decreasing in order to take care of everything on our corner. By the way, here's just an aside about that. The Lord is against that. The more that we take care of others, the Lord makes sure that we are taken care of as well. The more we take care of ourselves, the only resource is our resource if we take care of our own and nobody else. It just works in the economy of God. So the generosity that comes in and the generosity that's shared is a significant matter in the ministry of the church. I have had repeated comments from some of the oldest members in our church who absolutely love and celebrate the youngest members in our church when they lead worship. That's not normal. And I'm celebrating that it's not normal. And you know who you are that are older, who celebrate those who are younger. It's rare and special and biblical that our church family is what's called intergenerational, that every age group is represented and respected and shares life with one another as a great big family. We sung about that today, the family of God. It's a big deal. It's a big deal that we are having Vacation Bible School in 16 weeks, Eric said just a moment ago. The community of Jennings will come to our church. There are generations of people who have paraded through the church right here on this corner through Vacation Bible School. I've told you the testimony before. My very own son-in-law was born and baptized through Vacation Bible School. It wasn't until he met my daughter that was ignited in his life, and he's in Philadelphia leading my daughter in faith this morning in the church that they attend. And it resulted in him. It began when he was brought to Vacation Bible School by grandparents. And who knows how many generations of people whose lives are forever changed as a result of an event like Vacation Bible School. I know I'm supposed to be preaching, but I just can't help give you a thought process about how it's important for us to celebrate the ministry of our church right now. And that's just a few for us to talk about and to invite people to participate in. Just like in this passage of Scripture, when Jesus came to the scene and discovered one disciple who talked to another disciple, who talked to another disciple, and he began to chain reaction, these relationships, into that group. We as a church have that same responsibility. Do you realize that by your invitation to someone to come and see, by your invitation for someone to come and participate in a women's Bible study or a women's conference that's happening in a couple of weeks, I'll speak more about that in a moment. Do you realize that you can impact somebody's eternity by bringing somebody along with you to one of the experiences of our church, have them hear the message of Jesus, and have their lives forever and eternally changed just by saying, why don't you come and see with me? And so we see that unfold in the passage of Scripture. In just a few minutes out of that passage of Scripture, I want to share with you four thoughts that are important about this whole matter of coming and seeing and inviting people to come and be a part of the great things that God is doing in the ministry of the local church. The church that's still relevant in America today, no matter what anybody else would say. First of all, we come and see in community. The ministry of the church is come and see. It functions as the gathered people of God. It functions as people mixing and mingling and loving and hugging and celebrating, praising the Lord one with another. Secondly, in community, the testimony of your life and my life is a come and see. To be able to live our lives on Sunday consistently that and in the same way on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is an open book of testimony of who I am, who I align with, what my life is like. The worst testimony we can have is a testimony of inconsistency to where our behavior on Sunday is markedly different from our behavior on Monday. On the other thing, it speaks volumes if our behavior on Sunday is consistent with our behavior on Monday. And whether we go through the highs of life or the lows of life, we're still staying faithful to the Lord because of His salvation in life. The people are watching for consistency in your life. They're watching for your behavior to be the same on a daily basis as it is on Sunday. And to realize that by simply living my life in the way that I can be responsible to the Lord and to my community, it can impact someone else's eternity. We have the great privilege, and that's another big deal, using that phrase as a barred phrase from one of my new deacons. We ordained two new deacons last Sunday night, Paul and Joseph, and then Eric was reinstalled as a deacon. And I know Joseph wouldn't mind repeating one of the lines from his testimony last Sunday night when he said this. He said, as a 19-year-old man, doing it my way didn't work. And I realized that my way wasn't going to work. And I turned my life back around to Jesus. And what an awesome testimony from 19 to 32 to see him go from not working in the way that his plan and working in the godly man and leader in the church that God's called and identified him and his family to be. Our testimony can be corrected if it's not working and come to the place where we can be transparent and trying the best we can and open book before others in the community so others can see and come. We come and see in community. We come and see, secondly, with the privilege of knowing Jesus. Many who have a historical habit of being in church, it's kind of your autopilot, and greatly appreciated that it is. But many of us who have been in faith for quite a long time, if not careful, can take our faith with Christ a little bit for granted because it's been around and in our lives so long. But I want you to be reminded today that knowing Jesus in an intimate and personal way is a big deal. In fact, it is the biggest deal. It takes away the guilt and the stain of sin. It forgives, praise the Lord for this, and forgets the marks against us that are in our lives. It wipes out all of the things that would keep us from having a face-to-face relationship with the Heavenly Father. We have the privilege of knowing Jesus. And by knowing Jesus and Jesus knowing us, we have the promise of eternity. To know that at the end of our lives, whether it's early or late, we'll be spent the rest of our days as believers in eternity with Jesus. And to know that this life is only a vapor, this life is only a moment, no matter how difficult it might be, because of the promise of being with Him. We have the privilege of knowing Jesus. These disciples that were being called, they didn't know it at the time. But they were, as Southern word would be, they were fixing to be on a whirlwind joyride. They were fixing to get into it. And they had no idea what that would mean. But they were willing to follow Jesus. They were willing to drop everything and go with Him. He must have had a compelling way about Himself. And of course, we know that He does. And they began to move in this relationship with Jesus that changed their lives and changed the world. We come and see in community. We come and see with the privilege of knowing Jesus. We also come with the privilege of doubting and having that doubt cleared up. Poor Nathaniel. Poor Nathaniel. I mean, Thomas has been given the moniker what? Doubting Thomas. But Nathaniel had a reputation as well. And if he could only just take those words back. When Nathaniel found out that Jesus was in the area and that Jesus had come out of Nazareth, it says right there in the middle, you know what Nathaniel said? Did any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, my goodness. He probably went to John and said, John, please don't write that in your book. Please don't write that in the account. But forever and forever, Nathaniel is known for giving wisecrack about Jesus before being called as a disciple. Did any good thing come out of Nazareth? Here's the thing that I think is important about that being written in the record. It is important to not throw Nathaniel under the proverbial bus or under the proverbial chariot, if you will, but to show that even a future disciple can have questions and can have doubts. Even a future disciple from this moment can make mistakes and overcome. Isn't that wonderful to know for you? It's certainly wonderful to know for me. That we can make mistakes, we can speak words that we shouldn't have said, and yet we can still be clean and corrected before the Lord. There are many in our community today, there are many that come even to church on a regular basis, who function with a measure of doubt, who function with a wonder of what God is about, what God is doing, and can God really be real, and can God really save? I want you to know if that is wrangling in your heart today, it's okay. It's not okay to stay there, but it's okay to think those thoughts and to have those questions and to challenge Jesus so that He might respond to you and to help you to be cleared up and to help you to be better and to help you grow in your faith and grow towards a more vibrant faith life with the Lord. We come and see in community. We come and see with the privilege of knowing Jesus. We come even with our doubting and even with our mess ups like Nathaniel, but know that those can be cleared up. And lastly, we come and see with the realization that not only do we know Jesus, but Jesus knows us. He calls for us to be careful with our lives. He reminds us in the knowing us that we are never alone. He calls for us to get better, to be better, to have a testimony with Christ that shares that my life before Jesus was a mess. It was this way. I met Jesus, and my life wasn't completely fixed at the moment I met Jesus. But from the moment I met Jesus, I got better. And I'm continuing to get better. And the sins that beset me in the past are no longer haunting me anymore. And the habits and the failings and the faithlessness that was my life before has been replaced with a growing faith. I still mess up. I still make mistakes. But praise the Lord, I'm getting better. Because Jesus knows me. It's a big deal that you've come today. And I hope through the singing and the praying and the giving and the reading of the Word and the preaching of the Word that you've had a benefit. I hope that you have also recognized that by you being here, somebody else has a benefit. And by all of us being here, Jesus has a benefit. That He's seen us gather today, that we've come together and formed the body of Christ and celebrated Him today. And we leave here today with the responsibility to go and tell someone, to have on our lips, you got to come and see this. To sing that song that was played on the video a moment ago, and to realize that there are people all around us that want to go to church as we, I can't sing it, sorry. But anyway, it was meant well. But anyway, want to go to church. And they're waiting on you to come and see.